Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 4th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. Just as always, I'm glad to be here, and we're into March, March 2026. Jeez.
You know,
I think January was so long, and then February just went by in the snap of a finger.
That's very well said. January was very long. It was at least 5 years long, and February went by in a week. But as always, I'm so glad to have you. So glad to get an opportunity to chat with you. And I love seeing all of our regulars in the live chat. But we also want to throw some love to those that catch us from the archives. And if you do primarily listen to us in the archives, if you have a chance, come join us in the live chat. You know, it's always a good discussion. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at Metaphysics Institute and TF University. One moment. And as always, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, we are thrilled to welcome Dr. Doug Kelly, and can't wait to get into our wonderful topic tonight, but welcome.
Hello, everybody. Good to be with you again this first Wednesday of the month. I have an interesting topic, I think. It's interesting to me, anyway. Years ago, I came across a song called Slip Away. It's by David Arkenstone and Charlie Brooks. It's from their album, Laveran. I think it was put out in 2013. I really like the song. You should look it up. Slip Away by David Arkenstone and Charlie Brooks. And Charlie, it's a she, a female, she sings the song. And they worked on it together. She does an outstanding job of the song. But there's a lyric in that song that reads, I am bound to you by more than what divides us. I am bound to you by more than what divides us. And I got thinking about that, you know, and so hence the title of my talk tonight, Are We Bound by More Than What Divides Us? And so I have a few thoughts I'd like to share with you about this that, you know, to get you thinking, if nothing else. And I'm probably preaching to the choir here a little bit, but because most of our members and students are, you know, pretty much on the same page this way. But so, you know, let's ask the question, are we bound by more than what divides us? And the general answer is yes. Otherwise, we wouldn't exist as a human race. So generally speaking, yes, we are bound by more than what divides us. Now, this can be different on a personal level, you know, and I've just got a number of thoughts here I want to go over in no particular order to get you thinking. So on a personal level, you know, Have we met people that we just don't vibe with, you know, we don't connect with, we don't get along with? But yeah, we all have. We all do. I mean, that's just part of human culture and so forth. And so some people with lower moral standards, you know, they're going to be divided from those with higher moral standards. You know, it's like, I'm not going to get along with criminals. You know, it's a question of morality. I don't do crime and I don't support that. And so I'm not going to, there's going to be a division there. You know, one of the things that my wife Tracy said about this is she says, we need to view others as human first and differences second. I thought that was a good point, you know. So if we're looking at this question, are we bound by more than what divides us? You know, we need to look at people's humanity first and differences second. That's where we start. You know, give people the benefit of the doubt until there's a reason not to. I mean, that's been my policy for many, many years. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt unless there's a reason why I shouldn't. You know, so I don't have to think about it. But if I've had a relationship with somebody and a friendship or, you know, work relationship, whatever it happens to be, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt until there's a reason not to. And if they yank my chain, continue to yank my chain, and they're not trustworthy, then I'm sorry. I'm not going to give you the benefit of the doubt anymore. That's going to put, you know, a barrier on our relationship. We're not going to be friends. We're not going to, you know, swim in the same pool. We're not going to walk the same path because we're on different paths, which I'll get to here in a minute too. But as a general rule, and generally speaking, we need to drop all the things that separate us, specifically, in particular, religion and politics. Religion and politics, in particular. We need to reevaluate what it means to be human and what it means to be civil and what it means to be a community. That's what we need to reevaluate that. And we need to make a commitment that we're going to be civil to one another. We're going to be kind to one another. You know, over the eons, human beings have separated themselves into tribes and groups, which is a part of our social construct, I know. But as we evolve, in my mind, we kind of need to drop that. We need to evolve out of that because those things separate us. You know, yes, we are a tribe, but we are a human tribe. You know, we don't need to separate into little tribes that just do warfare and fight each other. It just makes no logical sense. So we need to outgrow that. You know, we're all part of the human race. There's one race, the human race. There's not different races. We're all one race. We're all human beings. And that means to stop separating according to religious beliefs or political beliefs, you know, and that's a tall order. I get it, especially for some people because they're not able to evolve past that. But religion's done more to divide humanity than any other single thing. And politics is, you know, not too far behind on that one. And so we need to stop that. We need to realize that we're all part of this one family. In fact, we're all stardust. We all come from stardust. We're all made of the same thing. It's for all my life, I could never understand racism. I could never understand hating somebody because of the color of their skin. You know, we never bring up the color of their eyes, do we? Well, I hate all blue-eyed people. You know, that's nobody does that. You know, we don't say, well, you know, you're short or you're tall or you're fat or you're thin, so I hate you. You know, we don't draw the lines on those things. It's all the color of the skin. And I could never figure that out, you know, because you remove the skin, we all look the same. It makes no sense to me. It confounds me. And there are things on this planet that confound me a lot, really. But that's one thing that just confounds me because I don't get it. So we let go of those things that separate us because skin color, you know, the pigment of somebody's skin is not a reason to hate them. We don't deal with that. We don't make a big deal out of the pigment of somebody's skin. It just, it's stupid. And so we don't want to be divided by those who would want to divide us. And again, you know, I make no bones about it. I don't care for religion because all it does is divide people. It creates fear in people. You know, like, I mean, I was just talking to our lady that we know today. She was over at the house and she's talking about, you know, her it was the anniversary of her father's death. He died like 16 years ago and she was sad and trying to comfort her. And she was talking about how, you know, how did she put it? She said something about, you know, get behind me, Satan kind of thing. And I said, there's no Satan. Satan is a religious construct designed to create fear and to control people. That's all that is. You know, and I have a lot of people who ask me, do we teach demonology? No, because demons don't exist in my world. There are none. I have been asking probably for 20 years. I've been inviting Satan, demons, Beelzebub, and whoever you want to call them to show up and talk to me. I can't get them to show up. They're just a religious construct. They're a pigment of somebody's, many people's imagination. And so we need to get past that. Here's another thought. And I've been thinking about this concept of radicalization. If you think about it, you know, human beings are easily radicalized. I mean, I was radicalized for the first 40 years of my life as a Jehovah's Witness. I mean, I was born into it and I grew up that way, but essentially I was radicalized toward that belief system. And the same thing is true. You know, people are radicalized toward different belief systems. Racism is one of them. You know, they're radicalized toward a political leaning or whatever. And so we need to let that go. We need to release the need to separate. We need to come together as a human race. And again, there's only one race, the human race. Now, this doesn't mean that you need to accept people with questionable moral standards who are criminals, like I had mentioned earlier. These people are on their own path. However, we are on a different path. We are on a path of enlightenment, growth, and evolution. And so as a human race, we need to wake up, generally speaking, and some more than others. So that's the goal. We all come together as a human race to the benefit of the human race, to the benefit of each other. So are we bound by more than what divides us? The answer is generally yes, we are, because we're all human beings. And when we can release the need to do this tribal stuff, we will evolve. And I believe that's part of our evolution. You know, you go through stages and think about it. We all were part of tribes just to survive, right? Back in the day. But nowadays, it's not such a deal. We don't need to be part of a tribe to survive. It's a different circumstances these days in modern times. So now we need to embrace each other. We need to give people the benefit of the doubt until there's reason not to. We need to be kind and give an encouraging word. And I'm going to pause now, Dr. Vicki. And
yeah, well, you know, I love what Wendy said in here, if I may, in the chat.
I haven't read it yet.
I really believe that you can find that one thing in everyone that you can like enough to get along with them, at least on a surface level. And it's just like people you encounter, you know, or even someone you don't like, you know, you can still say hello if you see them on the street. You know, being respectful, cordial, and civil, and, you know, because we're all human beings. There's no need for us to follow into the dark side and be like that energy. That, you know, makes sense.
I've often said, to your point there and to Wendy's point, I can hate, you know, a vague sense of people. You know, I can hate people. I can hate the things they can do. I hate bad drivers. I hate people that, you know, do certain things in the world. Everybody sees it, right? You can hate people. But whenever I've been face-to-face with a person, I've always found it very difficult to truly, like, to hate them. Because either you see a piece of humanity in them and you see, you know, any redeeming qualities, or the other flip side is hate is a wasted emotion. It's actually, you end up just kind of feeling sorry for them because it's what a wasted opportunity. You know, we're all given this opportunity of existence, of consciousness, to be, you know, humans in this world, in this time. And what a waste, you know, and that's just tragic. So
yep.
I completely get what you're saying, and I think we all have to act with dignity and kindness and treat others with dignity and kindness for our own sakes. And, you know, Dr. Kelly, you were talking about, you know, racism, which is, I think, just one of the more recent iterations of that basic tribalism. You know, I think we've talked about it before. The idea of what we could consider race per se is vastly different since the, you know, 15th century than it would have been, you know, in the Bronze Age or the, you know, ancient periods or anything like that, which, don't get me wrong, there was plenty of racists, but they weren't racist against skin color. They were racist against different tribes and cultures and things like that. So, I mean, but that tribalism has been going on a long time, and hit the nail on the head when you said that we need to evolve past our tribal nature. We need to be able to work together. I think Dr. Vicky might have said something on this right at the beginning, or maybe it was before the broadcast, but there have been people that make good arguments that, you know, the human species has survived as well as it has is because of how cooperative and caring we are for one another. That mathematically, if there has to be more of us that want to help one another than hurt one another, or else we wouldn't survive. And so we're on a path. We are on our way to a moral and, you know, ethical evolution. And it's just going to take, I think, longer than any of us want. But, you know, we each have to be that light that we, you know, we need to be our own light. We need to add to the cause. We need to do right when we see the opportunity, when we can, in our spheres of influence. You know, we have to do the best we can to make a positive impact. So,
there's more people in the light. Yeah. More good people than there are not good people.
And the more candles we have grouped together, the brighter the light.
You know, I think one of the things to acknowledge that we don't like to acknowledge is that, you know, we have an addictive society. And aside from some people having a psychosis, power is an addiction. And some people just like power. And there's a time to just let them have power when it doesn't matter. And there's a time to say, no, I don't agree with that, you know, and say, no, and don't feed it. You know, but Dr. Kelly, I'm with you. There's more that binds us. And, you know, a friend of mine not too long ago asked me how I thought this was going to fare and, you know, the good of the bad and how the state of the world. And I said, you know, there's 8 billion people on the planet. Even if there's 1 billion not so good people, there's still 7 billion good people, you know, and we can outshine this. Absolutely. Every day is a fork in the road.
It takes
courage. It'll pass. And I want to address the world events too. You know, I have gone to great lengths over the years to avoid getting into politics on this program. And generally, you know, I have my own thoughts and beliefs, and I've done a little bit of activism to, you know, support what I believe is the good thing for everybody. But I've tried to avoid politics, and I will continue to avoid politics on this program. But, you know, I don't want to also ignore the elephant in the room, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of crap going on in the world. In the United States, most people are not happy with it. Most people are objecting to it. And what I want to reiterate, and I've said this many times, look, every decade there's something going on in politics, something going on, and it's always the most outlandish thing for the time. You know, it's, I mean, if you think back to Watergate and Nixon, where he had to resign. Oh my God. You know, you think he'd, you know, people would resign over that today? Probably not. But back then, it was a big deal. Then there was, you know, the Iran-Contra affair and Reagan and and then there was, you know, the civil rights movement in the 60s. And it's like every decade, there's something going on that just shocks people. And yet, where are they now? Where it all passes. And this will too. So the big thing I want to impress upon everybody is don't get too anxious. Don't get too freaked out. You know, don't let it distract you, depress you, worry you. What you need to do is take your power back. And how do you do that? You do that by living your life in a good way. You take your power back by taking control over your life. You choose how you feel. You choose to be a decent human being, to help people. You choose to not road rage. You choose to let somebody pull out in front of you. You pause, you let them go. It doesn't matter. You know, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. You know, most things don't really matter when you really boil it all down. So let people have the benefit of the doubt. Let people have the right of way. Because it just doesn't matter. It's not worth fretting over. It's not worth raging over. You know, do what you can to deliver greatness to the world. Deliver your greatness to the world. I've been talking about that forever. You know, deliver your greatness to the world. Do no harm. Do right. And if you do that, you will deliver your greatness to the world. But again, don't sweat it. Don't sweat this stuff that's going on. It'll pass. Trust me, it'll pass. I've been around the block a time or two. It'll pass. It just will. So if you're a student who's distracted, who's not getting your studies done, don't let this stuff, this world stuff go on, you know, distract you. Get back to your studies because you have objectives you want to accomplish. And so do that. Because most of the students that we have and have had in graduates are all busy doing something that benefits other people, that helps other people. You know, 16 years ago, I founded this church and the schools, well, IMHS, and then in 2015, PFU. But I wrote the principles of belief that we read every week on this program. I wrote those 16 years ago, and I wrote them because I was seeking a healthy spiritual philosophy that was human-centered, that empowered people, that was not cult-like, that was not controlling, that was upbuilding and encouraging. That's why I wrote those way. And I firmly believe that the 9 principles of belief is the healthiest spiritual philosophy on the planet. Because number one, I'm not telling you what to think. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm encouraging those readers of those 9 principles to do no harm, to do right, to search within and find that counselor within, the guru within. I'm encouraging people to remember that it's okay to accept people, you know, regardless of what they believe or what skin color they have or what their gender identification is, whatever, whether they're gay or not. I don't care. You know, people are people. And the only reason that some people hate gays and LGBTQ is because they've been conditioned that way. They've been radicalized that way. And so we need to release that radicalization if it's not serving us and others to the highest good. So don't let stuff going on overly distress you or overly worry you. It'll pass. Just hang in there and look for ways to pay it forward. Look for ways to deliver your greatness to the world.
If I can add something in here, Dr. Kelly. That don't be afraid to call out something when you see it's wrong. Yeah. You know, and I think what comes to mind is last October when I went to Edmonton and I visited with my nephew. We'd had supper and we got visiting and talking. And road rage is one of the things that came up. I said, I never seen so many angry drivers in my life. He says, oh, I'm one of them. And I just looked at him. I said, you got to stop that bleep. I said, like, what is that doing to your nervous system and other drivers? Like, really, chill out. You really need to chill out. And he looked at me like nobody had talked to him like that before. Like, it's because it's ridiculous. Like, you're just stressing yourself out for nothing. You know, everybody just, because that escalates, the stress escalates and it feeds on itself. And I'd like to remind people that fear feeds itself. And the more people you get afraid, you know, I always say, you know, we have people in Canada right now who are scared too. And I've had a couple of people call me and I say, don't be scared, be prepared. You know, if you got food and little cash in the house, and Michael and I talked a couple of weeks ago, it's no different than when you lived through hurricanes down in Florida. Yeah. You know, you have to be prepared. You got a generator, got some food, bottled water, you know, and you just deal with whatever comes. And that's life. Yeah, we get past it, get through it.
I hope my thoughts have helped encourage you at the very least, because that's all I've always wanted to do. Give you the encouraging word, build you up, let you know it's okay. Things will pass. Things will improve. You know, we just got to outlast it. And we can't, because that is the resilience of the human being. And so I hope you'll take this and share it with others, and that way you can be a force for encouragement in their lives as well. Anyway, I appreciate everybody's kind attention, and I'll look forward to talking with everybody again in the first of next month. And
glad to have you back, Dr. Kelly.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's always good to have you on here.
All right, everyone. Have a great night, great week, and if you have any questions about your studies or anything like that, I'm just an email or a phone call away. Everything's on the website, so call me or write me, and I'll help you out.
Awesome.
Take care, everyone.
Thanks so much. We always love having you on, and that was a great discussion. It's always going to be evergreen, the idea that, you know, we really need to remember what binds us together. And, you know, we're going to be pulling cards here in a few minutes as we wrap up our program tonight. But I just want to throw in my last thought on this is that, you know, we have been in hard times before. We've been in much harder times than this before. We will be in harder times again. Remember, again, to do what's right. Do no wrong, do right. Remember that, the moral arc of justice bent, the moral arc of history bends towards justice. And that's true. It is very true, but it is the actions of millions and billions of us all working together to make a better world. So have courage, do the right thing, be a force for good in your world, in your circle, in whatever way you can. And that's how we're going to get better. So.
Well, I guess one of the things I ask myself, Michael, is why am I still here? And I think that's exactly why, you know, you got to keep the light going.
Yeah.
Keep the light going.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it is that time of the night. Like, you know, our time goes by so quickly, and got some names in the chat already. I'm going to pick an inner oracle self-discovery card, and I'll back it up with the tarot and see what we've got. And I think our first name is Dr. Jeff of Blind Outdoorsman, I'll have you know.
We do have Danelle before Dr. Jeff.
Oh, do we? Sorry.
Oh, no worries. I'm just going to lose myself trying to catch up.
All right. Sorry, Danelle. I did not see it. You know, sometimes things go too fast for me and I don't read it properly.
Oh, that's okay. All right, that's why we got each other's back. And Danelle, for you, I have number 9 tonight, empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you're whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to both yourself and others.
Well, I got temperance to back that up. So empowerment with temperance, you know, kind of in keeping with tonight's conversation, actually, Daniel. Patience. Temperance I always see is like water. Sometimes you go with the flow or you're just chilling out. So, and that's your empowerment. We don't always have to defend ourselves. And we don't always have to explain how we feel or what we think. And sometimes there's moments where, you know, somebody's talking or even pointing the finger and you just smile and nod and say, I see what I hear what you're saying. But that doesn't mean you have to take it all in. So if there is any negativity around, I would just not feed it. I think that's what this is saying here. Because therein lies your power. So I hope that that fits or makes sense to you, Deno. Okay, Jeff is next.
All right.
I say that with a question mark.
I believe so. And Dr. Jeff, for you, okay. We're going back to the beginning tonight. For you, I have number one, perfection.
Ooh.
Always remember that you are perfect just as you are. Perfect work in progress. Always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices. Tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate a situation may be perfect, sometimes not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
I got the Queen of Clubs. What I want to say, Jeff, and don't laugh or poke me later, listen to Shauna. That's a female energy, someone who's, you know, the overview, seer, Mother Earth. And it's kind of like you guys are such perfection together, a good harmony. And she's encouraging, but she might have some suggestions, you know. And it's, I want to say let her be your guide. And I know she is. And I don't mean that with any pun intended. That strong female energy is what helps to feed you and getting your confidence and that self-certainty. So it is perfection in action. So I guess that's just an affirmation if you're wondering about anything.
All right.
All right.
Dawn up next. And
Dawn.
For you, I have number eight, balance and order. With this card,
Michael has a bit of a cold. So,
this is true.
If whether it's a sneeze or a cough.
No, I'm going. Can you hear me?
Beck?
I'm here. Can you hear me? Dr. Vicky? Hello?
Oh, geez, Michael. My Teams keeps checking out.
Oh, well, can you hear me now? I should be going
out.
Yeah, I think. Good.
You're good.
All right, we're good.
Okay, we have Dawn. What do you have for Dawn?
I have number eight, balance and order. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will.
Well, I kind of like it that the Tower is backing that up, balance and order, because one thing about the Tower is that extraneous things fall away. Or you're looking around and saying, I don't need this anymore. It's a bit of a cleaning house. But the Tower always still has its foundation intact. Like knowing who you are, getting some things in order. Well, Dawn had this card back in February, February 11th, Wendy says in the chat. So it might be some things, I don't know, if it could be as simple as cleaning out closets, Dawn. Or it's about... Oh, you know, finding that ground in relationships, or, and it doesn't have to be a personal relationship. It can be in any kind of, you know, encounter situation, but, your foundation is intact. That's what's good about it. So it just means some cleaning house, maybe emotionally, psychologically, closets. That's all. And we all go through that. So that's, you know, just what this is indicating. So I hope that makes sense to you.
All right. We have Audra next. Audra, I have for you number 17, reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future, success, and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day? And what else in my life should be reinvented?
Well, interestingly enough, with reinvention, I got a ten of spades, which often indicates loss or sadness. So I got another one. I pulled another one, Audra, and it's the sun. So sometimes we grieve for ourselves, like an old self. And you've been reinventing yourself so many times the last few years. It's your evolution is amazing because I can feel and sense your energy. But you're reinventing yourself again. Sometimes I miss the old naive me, you know, the one that didn't know so much. You know, the wonderment at an airport watching people, and now I dread them. So it's just this new life blossoming from you into a way that, again, you hadn't known in yourself before. So it's a birthing process. I think that's what they're saying. Another one, epiphanies, little light bulbs going on. Oh, you know, those things. So you got to ride it out, you know, and grieve for yourself as you need to.
Well said.
It's a process. Yeah. Kevin, we have Kevin next.
Kevin, for you, I have number 20, deliberate intent. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is you desire. It's not magic. It does require effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have, and release with patience.
Oh, I got the King of Pentacles, King of Diamonds. So, you might be reorganizing finances. I know it's tax time, that's for sure. You might be looking at finances, Kevin. A little bit of budgeting, got a little extra coming in, or new endeavors that might bring you extra. And I really feel like it's more coming in than going out. So that's always a good thing. But deliberate intent. So once you assess this, you know what you want, send it to the universe. So that's what I say. Good things coming.
All right.
Well, thanks for the feedback, Audra. She was thinking something similar. Stay curious is her motto. Mm-hmm. You know, that is absolutely, I use that word a lot, Michael, when we... I think you and I have talked about this before, not too long ago. I like people who are curious, you know, and mm-hmm. curious about how things work, curious about learning new things. I'm going to interrupt this programming for a minute, Michael. Last week, I came across a cooking video, a chef who made bread, and it was one of those square bread tins, you know, the lid that slides on. I had never seen one before. I mean, how's that? I'm going to be 71 and I never seen one before. So I ordered it right away. So my friend comes over. I said, look what I got. And I was baking bread when she came for coffee. And she looked at me and said, yeah, that's how they make those square sandwich things. I said, what? She said, well, Vicky, you do baking and cooking. You just don't shop. You just don't go anywhere. I said, well, this is true. That's why I didn't know that. So I learned something. I'm curious, and I know it's something as simple as a bread tin. I'm interested in how those things work. But there might be other things like philosophy or, you know, Oh, Wendy says she wants one of those on Amazon. I know. I'm not big on Amazon. Trust me. I wish I could, but I live in a small town, so I had to opt for, you know, Amazon or drive 4 hours to the big city. No, not doing that. So, yeah, Amazon, Wendy. Anyway, that's my little throw in there, Michael, is stay curious. Be interested in people who are curious.
Absolutely. Yep. Well said.
Yeah. Donna's next, I think.
Donna, for you tonight, I have our first wild card number one paradox. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first. Thus, new perspectives are discovered.
You know, I like paradox. They can be a little confusing at times because you don't know where you're going. It's out of your frame of reference. And in this case, the Page of Pentacles, again, that's pages are communication cards. So you might be, again, not unlike Kevin in a way, looking at finances or talking to somebody about finances, looking for a new job or something else to earn more money. And I feel positive about this, but be open to the possibility of something you're unfamiliar with. Because that's where I get in the paradox thing is, you know, sometimes things aren't always as they seem and it might be good. So keep an open mind. All right. Oh, thanks for the feedback, Kevin. You're going to be fine. He's meeting with his cardiologist tomorrow. Thanks for the positive twist. Who knows? You're going to be okay. You know, getting old is a full-time job.
Yeah.
It really is.
It adds up, huh?
Oh, I know. Not one thing, it's another. But, Kevin, I see it this way. As I said to my friend the other day, when I was very young, I had two astrologers and a warlock of all things when I was 20. Tell me I wouldn't live past 40. Well, in fact, I was so sick I nearly died when I was 40. But we have medicine, we have science, all kinds of things get us way past our expiry date. You know, I mean, and I'd be grateful for that. There are things we can do, treatments we can get, and you know, medication keeps us alive. It's true.
It's true.
So, gotta live in that gratitude. You're gonna be fine there, Kevin. Absolutely. I know it in my bones.
Sending you good energy.
Yeah, so Wendy, I think, is our final card of the night. Mm-hmm.
And Wendy, for those that don't know, is our card keeper. She tracks the patterns of our inner oracle cards. I think we've only gotten the one repeat tonight. But it is a year of change. So for you, Wendy, tonight, I have wild card number four, unknowable. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable, unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind, and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Well, the Seven of Cups, or the Seven of Hearts, is about dreams. Dispelling illusions, looking at what's real, what are your dreams? So dreams are where your passion is. I want to say, dream big, Wendy. Stretch yourself. And then once you have the dream, then you can back up and put the steps into place. And if that takes you in a little bit of a different direction than you thought, that's okay. But the Seven of Hearts is always about dreams and passion and energy. And of course, the negative is sometimes we're deluding ourselves. But in this case, when I partner those cards, it's whatever you want it to be. By the way, I envy you, Wendy. She put up a post on Facebook. She went fishing yesterday. And I thought, why am I not going fishing? I love fishing. So I think I'm going to have to grab my grandkids right after the ski season here, and we're going to go fishing.
That's good. What we're going to do. Inspiration.
Yeah. I love fishing because it's quiet.
It is. Contemplative.
It's quiet and still, and hours can go by. And, oh, what time is it? You know, yeah. It's a great experience. It's just to feel, you know, that pulse of Earth and, you know, and the water, of course. Yeah. But Wendy says, oh, yes, go fishing. Yeah, I loved it. Thanks for that post, too, Wendy. I thought that was great. You know, it's a good reminder for ourselves. Sometimes we don't talk about all the, you know, psychic hokey stuff, but what it is, we talk about the human stuff. And I don't think that, you know, in our time, at least, you know, in this decade, we need to be reminded to check in with ourselves, be at peace with ourselves, not let the world shake us up too much. And don't get me wrong, guys, you know, I have my own things. Michael has his things. Everybody, you know, we're going, what the is going on now? What? But everybody lives in their own reality, their own karmic pathway. Everybody has their own trip. And there's kind of an acceptance in that. We wish we could help more, do more, be more. But we are doing our part just by living in a light and being good and kind. And, sorry, Michael. Wendy caught a rainbow trout and grilled it for dinner. Oh, well, my heart beats still. Well, my neighbor brought me, she went way up in the mountains with her family last summer and brought me back a trout. Oh, it was so good. I baked it. The grill would be better. The best fish I ever ate, I was up in the Yukon in the bush with a friend of mine. She lives up there. Man, she's a tough girl. But, yeah, we went outside and cooking it out on, you know, an open fire. Nothing like it. Wendy says she's torn catching fish. I can catch them and I can clean them, but the dead part is really tough for me. It's like, oh no. But I like eating them. You know?
It's true for a lot of things. I think.
I know. When it's dead, I have no problem. But anyway, it's just a reminder. That's what tonight is all about, you know, mm-hmm. A reminder and really hooking up with the family here, because we're all like-minded in this place we're in, Michael. Absolutely. We get to check in with each other, you know, and get a little affirmation and know that we're not alone.
Absolutely.
You know, empowering.
We find strength with one another. And
we
remember we're not alone. So it's been a great discussion. We always love having Dr. Doug Kelly on. It was a great reminder to focus on the things that bind us together and not separate us. And had some great cards. And as we kind of wrap up this evening, Dr. Vicki, any last thoughts?
Oh, you know. Don't let them push you around out there.
Well, darn tootin'. Well, thank you all for joining us. And we can't wait to see you next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.